Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in this morning and join me. For those who may not be aware of His Way Out Ministries, our home base of operation is right here in Bakersfield, California, but we now have extensions of His Way Out Ministries in Jamaica, Las Vegas, Nevada, Guyana, South America, and Trinidad and Tobago. At His Way Out Ministries, our concern is regarding the issue of homosexuality, and we seek to minister to those within the church and the community at large with the truth of Scripture, the power of testimony, and the dialogue of issues. We remain dedicated to raising awareness, educating, and encouraging the body of Christ to minister to those who struggle with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. At His Way Out Ministries, we continue to believe that restoration is available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. If you tuned in last week, then you're aware that my very special guest for that particular program was friend and ministry partner of many, many years, Mike Evans, who happens to be the founder and the director of Wholeness Ministries here in Bakersfield, California. And Mike is also the author of a number of books. Before You Get Here, Why Not Waste Time with God, and Learning to Do What Jesus Did. Last week, when Mike was here, we largely turned our attention to the subject matter of deliverance, and because time ran out on us much too quickly, as it often does, Mike is back with me again this morning in the studio, and we're going to be turning our attention to the subject matter of inner healing. But first and foremost, Mike, good to see you again, sir.
Philip, thank you again. It's great to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you here. You have, for many, many years, you have ministered in the area of, you've certainly written about extensively, the topic of inner healing.
Yes.
Why don't we begin our conversation with your sharing, your defining, what is inner healing?
In its simplest form, Philip, it's healing of the inner person. We get hurt as we grow. We get hurt in things that people do to us or things that people say to us. Inner healing is dealing with those hurts, whether it's hurt from something someone said or something did, but it's dealing with the hurt and healing the inner man slash woman from the wound of that hurt.
Okay, now you're pushing all kinds of buttons. Because listening to what you just shared, I was remembering that in my own life, around the age of 13, 14 years old, when I became acutely aware of my own issue of same-sex attraction, and some of my classmates picked up on the fact that I was in a bit of a struggle, and hence came the words sissy, queer,
right,
fag.
Right.
You know, again, that happened around the age of 13 or 14, but it wasn't until many, many, many years later, then as an adult man, that I really recognized and appreciated just how deeply rooted those words were still in my life, and I had to come to a place that I wanted and needed to address them.
Right.
Because out of our mouths comes, and I'm sure you'd agree, out of our mouths comes either a blessing or a curse.
You're right. And those words hurt, didn't they?
They cut very deep.
Very deep. And it was, and you had to come to a point of being willing to forgive the people that said those words, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And you know what? To be perfectly honest with you, at times it wasn't easy.
Oh, no. Oftentimes it's very difficult. There are sometimes tears and screaming and yelling and banging their fists on the desk and just saying, this is how that really made me feel when you said that to me. And that's when you get to the core of how deep the hurt is, to bring the person to a place of being willing to let go and forgive.
Well, I recall once again in my own life, certain words that were hurled at me. I share with people all the time, I would rather, in some respects, someone slug me in the mouth because the hurt and the pain of that would be over much quickly than some of the words that we carry from childhood all the way into our adulthood.
Yes, because the physical pain heals pretty quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's that deep emotional that hurt the very core of who you are, that hurt you. It wounded you in a way that doesn't heal quickly until you're able to let go of it by forgiving the person that said it to you or did it to you.
So let me ask you, Mike, what would be my personal application? What is required of me, the person that was wounded deeply by words or things done to me? In many respects, for a lot of men and women today, a lot of the hurts and the wounds happened when we were little boys, little girls,
yes,
and we had no control over. So now I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened. What's my personal responsibility to come to that place of healing and wholeness?
Typically, when people contact me to walk them through the pain and help them free up from it, they've come to a place where they're willing to deal with it, if you will. And typically, I want to lead them into a place of prayer, of forgiveness, forgiving. Let me back up. Recognizing the pain, it hurts. Recognizing what it is, and so we talk about, when did it happen? What did they say? Can you forgive? So there's a willingness to forgive. Then you deal with forgiving the person who said it, and then for asking God to forgive you for holding on to the unforgiveness. So it's sometimes two-stage, forgiving the person and asking God to forgive you for holding on to it.
Right. We're living in a world today that a lot of men and women are completely driven by feelings and emotions.
Yes.
I would even submit that, especially here in America, we've become addicted to what feels good. It's almost become a narcotic.
Yes, it is.
So within the realm of inner healing,
mm-hmm,
especially things that happened in my past, does that mean that I'm going to feel all the time that I have actually truly forgiven? Or can certain feelings and emotions still surface that I go, maybe I haven't dealt with this as much as I thought I had?
My experience, again, has been if true inner healing has taken place, you should be freed up. You will be freed up from those, from that pain, from those feelings. There are occasions when maybe that feeling comes back or attempts to come back, which could be, one, could be the enemy saying, you haven't really dealt with this. You know, that was just a big joke. Or it could be, you haven't fully dealt with this. We need to go back and revisit this. Because as you said, you're not going to forget. Forgiving is not forgetting. You're still going to remember. What's key, and when I ask people if they have dealt with it, what is key to me is when they say, yeah, I've dealt with it, then I say, well, when you think about it, how does it make you feel?
Hmm.
And if they say to me, well, I feel free, I feel completely over it. Okay. Or if they say, well, man, I still get, I typically respond, well, then we better go revisit that.
And we're not going back, if you will, to revisit that wound or that hurt or that deep cut to try and change your past. It's we're refocusing on it to deal with it.
To deal with it. To get
to
all
face
of it,
it
out of there. If there's any vestiges of it left, if you haven't dealt with all of it. Let's get it all out of there.
Now, I'm thinking also listening to you in terms of inner healing, and I'm thinking now of your other book, Why Not Waste Time with God? That has to be a key element in resolving any form of brokenness, habit, addiction, whatever the past hurt may have been. It's going to largely depend and be focused upon our intimacy with God. And if we're going to be intimate, as your book says, you got to spend time with Him.
Got to spend time. And I refer to that as my coffee time with God. And when I just sit with God in the morning, and I have basically a cup of coffee, because I'm waking up, I'm in my study, I'm drinking coffee, and we're just sitting there like friends, developing, working on, being with my friend, having a relationship. I don't necessarily have any music on. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not reading any inspirational book. I'm not interceding for the world. I'm just sitting there with a cup of coffee, quiet, enjoying being in the presence of my Father God, knowing we are building intimacy. We are building relationship.
Let me run this by you. And actually, I shared this very recently in a seminar in Guyana, South America, because we were focusing upon much of what you and I are discussing right now. And I specifically turned our attention to individuals in ministry. You know, I know, when it comes to Christian ministry, the list is endless.
Oh, yes.
But it seems to me a key element in our knowing that we have moved just from relationship with God the Father to intimacy with Him is asking ourselves this question: is my desire to be with Him in His presence more important to me than doing for Him? Again, the list is endless of what we can do for God.
Yes, we are. We are works-oriented, by and large. And we feel that what we do determines our value, who we are. Okay? When you begin to spend time with God in the kind of intimate relationship that I'm talking about, you begin to discover one of the things is who you are in Him and how valued you are to Him. And how much He wants this relationship with you as a friend.
Right.
Because there was a point when I was feeling burned out, if you will, many years ago. And God brought me to the place where when He finally got me alone and still, He said to me, Michael, I'm going to teach you how to be a friend. And friends just like to hang out.
Yes.
And so that's what we began to do.
You're touching on another very, very important aspect, our true identity in Christ.
Yes.
And it would seem to me that if a man or a woman has come to a place of healing and wholeness and transformation in their life, they are no longer going to accept their true identity, allowing their past to dictate who they are in Christ. But that's a huge responsibility on our part.
Yes, again, it is. And we, you know, we understand, and Brennan Manning said this, we are the beloved. When you get that, you know, we are the beloved, but we don't allow ourselves to be loved. And when you are sitting with your Father God, you are allowing Him to love you.
Yes.
And that changes you. That transforms you. You understand what it means to be the beloved. And then you want to deal with the stuff.
Allowing God to love us. Boy, no, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. You're the beloved, but you don't allow yourself to be loved.
Because I have known, and I know, and I'm sure you do as well, men and women, that their view is, well, once I get this area of brokenness in my life resolved, now God will really, really, really love me. But I would submit, when you were lying face first down in the mud pit, He loved you just as much then as when you've come out the other side and it's been dealt with and it's gone and you've moved on.
This is another thing I heard Brennan say. God can't love you any more tomorrow than He loves you today or yesterday. He is love. You're as loved as you're ever going to be loved. Whether you're living in sin or free of sin, He loves you. He can't love you anymore.
Would you say then, with regards to inner healing, what you just shared about God's love, my really embracing that truth and the reality of mm-hmm. the depth of God's love for each and every one of us, is that going to require for me to really see that clearly and embrace that, that I've come to that place of inner healing?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood your question. Is you being loved?
Yes, my understanding that and embracing that God loves me regardless.
Yes.
Is that based upon my being in a place that I've resolved inner healing in my life?
It's, again, it's a part of the process. One of the joys of inner healing is it brings you to a better understanding of you are God's child. You are his beloved. That's one of the things he does when you sit with him. He puts in there that this is who you are. This is who you mean to me. This is what you mean to me. This is how much I love you. That comes as a revelation of spending time with him, which brings about often wanting to deal with the garbage in your life.
Yes, yes.
To be the person that God wants you to be or sees you as. The man or the woman that he has laid out a destiny for. And he wants you to realize that destiny.
Yes. Yes.
And understanding I am his beloved is part of that destiny, Philip.
Well, I find just the title of the book, Why Not Waste Time with God, just so unbelievably intriguing. I mean, how could you possibly, in God's presence, be wasting your time?
I know. That's what catches people's attention. And I believe, actually, God gave me the title when I wrote the book, because I wasn't sure what to call it. You know, and that came to me. Why not waste time with God?
I remember the first time I saw the title, I went, huh? But then it's like, oh, okay, all right. Hmm. So tell us a little bit more about the content of Why Not Waste Time with God.
Well, the content is not so much a how-to book as a journey of all the things we do to try to keep from going there, all the reasons we don't go there, because we're busy. We have important things to do, you know.
We have an agenda.
Oh, we have a world to you know, claim for Jesus Christ, and we've got this thing to do. But wasting time goes contrary to the way we think, because we think if you're not doing something, you're wasting time.
Hmm.
So it's a tongue-in-cheek, you know, why not waste time with God? When actually what you're doing is you're building relationship.
So when you are in your private time with God the Father, you said a moment ago, mm-hmm. it's often just early in the morning having a cup of coffee.
Yes.
And talking.
Yes.
Do you go into depth Bible study?
No, not at that moment. I get up, I go get a cup of coffee, I go in my study, I sit down, I usually say good morning, Father, or good morning, Dad, or good morning. And I just sit there and I have coffee and I just sit there. And sometimes I talk, sometimes I don't talk. I may sit there for 15 or 20 minutes. I may get a second cup of coffee, but I'm not doing Bible study at that point. I do that later. I do the Bible study or I do the intercessory prayer or I do a reading, whatever it is but that's later. My first part of my morning is sitting there having, quote, coffee with God.
And you're also giving him the opportunity to speak to you.
Yes. And oftentimes, Philip, I find that he puts things in there that I don't even know he's putting in there until later when I'm talking with someone or praying with someone, something comes out of my mouth and I'm shaking my head going, wow, where did that come from? And I knew it was God because it got right to the core issue of what they were dealing with.
And heaven knows, in this world in which we live today, everyone is going so fast and furious that even when it comes to our relationship with God the Father, we often don't give him an opportunity to talk to us. We often march in with our prayer list, mm-hmm. and then it's, amen, well, I got to mm-hmm. go. Mm-hmm. And God, I envision him up on the throne going, I got something I want to say to you.
Could you wait just a minute? You know, could we just hang out a little bit? And that's what I jokingly, you know, talk about hanging out with God like a friend. You know, when you're with friends, sometimes you just like to hang out, right? Just be with your friends. You may have no agenda. You don't have a whole bunch of questions you want to answer. You just like being with them. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I picture this time with God.
Let me ask you this, because this has been brought to me a couple of times that I remember. Since God is all-knowing, why do I need to talk to him? Why do I even need to pray? If he already knows what I'm thinking or going to pray about, why do I need to do that?
You know, I think God designed us so that that's more for our benefit than for his. He already knows, but if I'm able to sit in his presence and verbalize to him how I'm feeling, what I would like to see happen in my life, it benefits me. It encourages me. It's for my benefit. Okay, I'm the one that needs someone to talk to. I'm the one that needs to verbalize what I'm feeling to God.
So the bottom line is, when you're in the presence of the Lord, you are doing anything and everything except wasting time.
Exactly. Exactly. You are really, and that's why I said it's the tongue-in-cheek. You know, from the world viewpoint, when they say, what do you do? And I say, well, I don't do anything. I just sit there. Mm-hmm. Well, what a waste of time. But that is not a waste of time.
No.
Because you're hanging out. Think about that. You're hanging out with the God of the universe.
Yes.
Who created you for relationship.
Right.
And you can't have relationship if you don't spend time with him.
And we're so busy today that often our going to God the Father is often the last thing we do, which should be first, putting him at the beginning of each day where he rightly deserves to be.
When we're fresh, you know, absolutely. And it's the beginning of the day, and you're awake and you're alert and you're ready to start your day. What better way to do that than go sit down and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever and just hang out with God for a few minutes?
Well, I've heard individuals say that, you know, you've got to have this routine, and you've got to have a designated date and time that you go and be with God. It sounds very religious in many, many respects. Mm. And I, for one, I certainly don't want to put God in a box. I mean, the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one who hung each star in its place. I know this. He's always, always welcoming each and every one of us when we take that step to go and be with him.
Whether it's early in the morning, the middle of the afternoon, or late at night, it's not so much the routine of I have to do this, you know, check these things off. I hang out with my friends because I want to hang out with my friends. I got from the point of starting off with this wasting time. I started as a discipline because it was a new thing to me. But as I did it, it became not a discipline, but it became a joy. Because I knew I was going to just hang out with God.
Yes.
And we do need some disciplines, obviously, built into our life, such as praying or reading the Bible or learning from others, you know, Scripture. Mm-hmm. But the discipline can turn to a joy when it becomes something that you look forward to being there.
Yes.
Because of all the things that I've done, Philip, all the people I've sat under, all the teachings I received, all the workshops I've taught or been to or conferences I've done, none of them have been as valuable in my growth as this one thing. And it's the one thing that the enemy fights the most.
You're
because
so right.
it
so
scares right. the bejesus out of him, if you will. Okay?
Yes.
Because he knows when you move into that intimate place with God, you become a major threat, and he will do anything he can to stop you.
Let me ask you, Mike, in our last few minutes here. You and I met about 24 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart to launch out into, for lack of a better expression, ex-gay ministry, which, you know, I did not initially come real willing. But it was at that very same time a friend told me about you, mm-hmm. that you had left your position on staff of a church here in Bakersfield mm-hmm. to, by faith, entirely by faith, step out and to form and to launch Wholeness Ministries.
Correct.
And you did so because, can you share a little bit about that?
I did so because God very clearly directed me to do that. I was on staff of this large church for 19 years, and I had reached a place where I was becoming frustrated with how things were going, and I was feeling a tug that I'm not really doing or can do what I've been called to do. And I remember sitting up at the Kern River, sitting on a rock by the river, one of my places I love to go. And as I'm praying and venting my frustrations, God said to me very clearly, "Michael, I want you to resign your current position and go out on your own with this ministry because you can no longer do there what I have called you to do."
Wow.
And so I went home and I spoke this over with my wife, prayed it through, and did it 21 years ago.
Well, I recall vividly again when someone told me about yourself and I contacted you. We went to lunch. Mm-hmm. And you told me about the beginning of Wholeness Ministry that was entirely by faith. And I shared with you at that time. Again, I thought the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart about His Way Out Ministries and the focus of our ministry. And I remember so well you looking at me saying, "If I were you, I would pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying." And then you followed up with the need for ex-gay ministry, again, for lack of a better expression, is a huge, huge need.
Yes.
So here we are, our respective ministries. 24 years later. So given that, just what I just shared about when you and I met and you encouraged me, this is pretty much all your fault.
I take responsibility for it. But think about how faithful God has been
yes.
to both of us.
Absolutely.
In providing for our needs and watching these ministries grow and impact people's lives.
And with respect to both of our ministries, in the natural sense, the steps that you and I took in the natural sense made no sense whatsoever. I mean, you had some individuals, I know I did, pulling me aside going,
"Are you crazy?"
I was on staff at a church as associate pastor, and some were saying, Are you sure about this?
Yeah.
Have
you lost your mind? Are you sure you're doing the right thing?
But I was confident then, as I am today, that it was God's divine leading. And again, here we are some 24 years later, and to God be the glory.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. And we couldn't do what we do, Philip, without him, could we? I mean, we couldn't see the changes in people's lives without him. But
couldn't
think of the incredible privilege of being one of those vessels that God uses.
Amen. Mike, always a pleasure to have you here. Continued blessing and success with Wholeness Ministries.
Thank you.
For more information about Wholeness Ministries, please visit the website, which is wholeness.org. The website for His Way Out Ministries is hiswayout.com. Both the websites, you'll find a wealth of information, articles, testimonies, books, you name it. It's all there for your reference and your education. So once again, from all of us at His Way Out Ministries, thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.